If you will recall, the last time we looked at the book of Genesis in chapter 28, Jacob left home. He ran away. He wasn't leaving home to seek his fortune. He was leaving home to save his life because his brother wanted to kill him. You remember that? And Jacob saw in a dream at night, in a vision, he saw a stairway to heaven. I hate to say it that way. He saw a staircase to heaven. The King James uses the word ladder, but it's literally a staircase or a stairway where angels were going up and down the stairs and God was at the top. We learned that that stairway was Jesus Christ himself, the way to the Father. And Jesus even said to Nathanael, you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is that stairway to heaven. Well, we're going to start chapter 29 where Jacob continues his trip. But before we do, let's read Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And this is what we read. Reading out of the King James Bible, and I'll translate as I go, Idaho version. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's what Jacob is going to learn in just a few moments. It does not change because you and I are born again. Yes, there is grace. Yes, there is forgiveness. But you've got to understand that God is not mocked. So don't fool yourself into believing we're getting away with this. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let me say that in American. If you plant corn, corn is going to grow. Make sense? If you plant cotton, cotton will grow. If you plant watermelon, then watermelon will grow. Keep going. If you plant hatred, then hatred will grow. That's what will grow. If you plant deceit and lies will grow. If you plant jealousy, jealousy will grow. You can just take it from there. Because God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. Whatsoever a person plants, whatever they sow, that is what they will reap. It is in Scripture so clearly that you cannot ignore it. You can't do it. You can try if you like and think that your life is going to be the only one that can do this, but it will not work for you. Pharaoh ordered all the children, all the males of Israel to be crushed, to be killed, to be murdered. Moses escaped by the faith of his parents, of his mom. He was placed in the little basket, and you remember the story. You remember that everything that went with that. Moses, as Moses grew up later on in Pharaoh's life, do you recall a time when the angel of death came through and killed the firstborn in Egypt to include Pharaoh's son? Do you notice what you plant grows? Just because it hasn't hit me today doesn't mean it's not being watered and really coming up. David, king, committed adultery. He had sex with another man's wife, and then he murdered that man to cover the sin. Was he forgiven? Do this if you mean yes, and this if you mean no. Was he forgiven? Yeah, you scared me for a second. He was. Did what he plant grow in his own life? Do you know much later on, his daughter is raped and one of his sons murders another son. So you have the sexual sin and you've got the murder. Whatever you plant grows. And the way that we say it in our country, for you, Lucho, what goes around comes back around. Let me say it another way. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you mete or hand it out, it shall be measured to you again. What goes around will come back around. And so you want to be planting grace. Nice things. Things that you don't mind eating. Somebody told me once Christians can't be vegetarians because they end up having to eat crow. So you want to keep your words sweet because you never know when you're going to have to. Yeah, eat them. Now, with all that in mind, I just gave you the lesson that Jacob is going to learn in one of the hardest ways possible. That's what the lesson is in chapter 29. Jacob is a liar. He's a deceiver. He does what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. And he thinks that I'll always get my, he can weasel, he can do all these things and get away with it. And God says, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And this lesson is going to be real clean, going to be real clear. You'll get it. You'll get this lesson. Watch this. Then Jacob, this is verse 1 of chapter 29. Then Jacob went on his journey after, remember the vision he had there at Bethel called the house of God. Came into the land of the people of the east. He's up in the northern Syria. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, or look, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. The sheep are there. The well's got the rock on it, we'll learn. The sheep aren't drinking yet. They're just there around the well. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. Did I say whale? No, I said well. How am I doing? Okay. I've been hanging around. I've been doing my Spanish. I'm starting to misunderstand my own self. They kicked out us. I like that. I just like that. All right. And there were all the flocks gathered, verse 3. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in this place. You see, they manage the water. They understand water's important because it's a dry area. And so they manage the water. You've got a well here. They take care of everybody. They make sure everyone gets the water, the sheep and all. But then they cover the well back up. It's to protect it, to keep people from dumping stuff in it. And the heat, the evaporation. They just try to take care of it because that's the way it works. Look at verse 4. And Jacob said to them. So Jacob shows up. My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, where you guys come from? And they said, of Haran are we. That's where Jacob's headed. That's where his uncle lives. He said unto them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. Okay. Now, I'm going to have to say it so that you'll understand what's going on. Jacob comes up and he sees the sheep there. Now, the rock is still on. The sheep aren't drinking. The rock is still covering the well, and he walks up because there's a bunch of people just waiting around the well, and he says, how are you guys? Pretty good. You know, good day. How are you? Pretty good. Where are you from? We're from Haran. Oh, do you know Laban? Now listen, here's how they answered. Oh, we know him. Now, you see, that ought to be a clue to Jacob, but it's not. Everybody else goes, oh, Laban, you're going to see him. Who a pity you. Well, Jacob's not worried. He's a louse and a weasel himself. See, they say, oh, yeah, we know him. But Jacob doesn't know him yet. He will. Verse 6 says, and he said unto them, is he well? And they said, oh, he's well. Yeah, he's fine. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. Okay, this gives us a glimpse, before we get into the real troubled situation, gives us a glimpse of Jacob. All right, we already got an idea. Yeah, we know Laban. Okay, well, we'll meet him. It's coming up. But this gives us a glimpse into Jacob. Just a little bit of what Jacob is like. How old is Jacob? Do you remember? His brother Esau is his twin brother. And so Esau got married at how old? 40. So Jacob had to be 40 when his brother got married too, since they're twins. So, and it's been quite a while now. We don't know how old he is, but he's well over 40, isn't he? This is not a puppy anymore. He's not a baby. He's not a kid. And you learn something about this man because he tells them what they should be doing. Now, these people live here. This is their well. They've been out there every day for their lives. Here comes a stranger. You know, why don't you guys give your sheep water? You know, that tells me something about him. He's telling them to water their sheep, and he's telling them to feed them. Like, they don't know that. I'd be looking at the guy going, where are you from, man? And they do that very politely. You know, basically, Jacob, someone would look at him and say, Jacob, I think they know what they're doing. I mean, thank you for your advice. They tell him that. Thanks for your concern, but here's how we do it. We've got this under control, buddy. Also, we might be seeing here a little bit of laziness from the shepherds. You see this attitude like, you know, the stone's heavy. And, well, there are three flocks here, but there are probably going to be seven or eight total. Here comes Rachel now and some other flock. Why take the stone off, water these things, put it back on, and then go through the hassle of taking it off one more time or two more times? Why not just wait till everybody gets here, do it once? You know, a little bit of laziness, I think. So you got the guy who knows everything. Hey, well, you guys need to take that water, you know, feed these things and water them. Thank you very much. We know what we're doing. We've done this a few times. We'll handle this. But Rachel's on the way. That's what he says, or that's what we're told. Now, verse 9 says, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near, rolled the stone from the well's mouth, I'll handle this, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Now we meet Rachel. We're not told a lot about her. We'll be told a little bit more about her in a moment or two. But Rachel, we learn what she's a full-grown girl. She's probably not a baby anymore either. She is a younger sister. She does have an older sister. We'll see that in a moment. Rachel is a shepherdess. That's what she does for a living. Obviously, no college background. By the way, it was commonly a woman's work in those days. To be a shepherd was kind of it wasn't that great of a job. You smelled like the sheep. So many times it was relegated. Also, one of the reasons I think she was a shepherdess is she had no brothers. But many times it was relegated to the women. That would be a woman's job, take care of the dirty sheep. Or to the young children. Now, as you recall, as we'll go on later on in the Old Testament, you're going to meet the youngest boy in the family. And his job, while everybody else does normal things, his job is to watch the sheep. Remember David? It's a job for the women and the young and the children. And the men do important things. They sit around and drink tea and think. Politicians. Now, this is what the world calls coincidence. He happens to be a relative of Laban. He happens to be on his way to find his relatives. He stops in a group of guys, not even in town. Where are you from? We're from Haran. Oh, you know Laban? Oh, we know him. How's he doing? Oh, yeah, he's fine. Here comes his daughter now. And what a coincidence, isn't it? But you and I really don't believe in that, do we? Not if God is on the throne. Sometimes things happen to you that seem to be bad news. You'll come outside and your tire will be flat, just on the bottom. And it will be when you needed to get to the airport. You needed to get there. I mean, I've got to pick up, what's her name? I've got, And so in your mind, no, in your friends' minds, they say, oh, had a flat tire, huh? What do you think God's trying to tell you? Something wrong in you. No, God's trying to tell you the tire couldn't hold air. And you could figure the rest of that out on your own. It's not a real spiritual, deep journey you might be taking. There are reasons for everything to go on. But just because your tire's flat doesn't mean there's sin in your life. Probably there's sin in your life. It's got nothing to do with your tire. Most of the time. Or whatever happens to you. And I Christians are great on this. Oh, really? I mean, you were going to sign your name and the pen ran out of ink? Think about it, brother. And see, in my mind, I think really deep thoughts like, God must want me to use another pen. See, I never get it. I don't believe in coincidence. I know God's got reasons why he allows things in our lives. Those things sometimes to us could seem really big, but don't panic. No, it's all right. Listen, are you truly born again? Are you? You don't need to worry about it if someone goes, oh, you know, a contract. No, just don't. Come on. We'll just change this. We'll just get another pen. We'll just work this out. We'll just go and rebuild so the house fell down. Okay, we'll work on this. And what God's trying to teach us, he'll work in us. You know, it's not like some secret little club where God is going to go, okay, Jacob, I'll get you big time. I'll show you, Rachel. We'll trick you into thinking she's a beauty, and then we'll slip another one in on you. Oh, man, I can't wait. Well, he meets Rachel. She's very pretty. We'll see that in a moment. And so he says, well, the sheep are coming. This is my relative. She's the daughter of my uncle. Man, I'll water the sheep. I'll remove the stone. And so he pulls it out of there, and he's going to water. And verse 11 says, Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice, and wept. I don't know what to think about that. I honestly don't. Rachel probably doesn't, you know, think this guy's head screwed on so tight herself, you know. I don't know what Rachel's thinking, but, you know, he's thrilled that he meets a relative. That makes sense to me. Maybe this is just an emotional release because he's been traveling and it's been a long, hard trip. He had to cross the desert. He's all by himself. He left home. He's missing home. I'm sure he's homesick. He's been away from friends, away from family. He's come a long way. It's been dangerous out there. It's been hot. It's been a mess. And he's tired. And then he sees someone he doesn't know, but you're a relative. You know, what a welcome sight. Somebody that's a friend. So he kisses her. That was a common greeting. They would kiss on the cheek, on both cheeks usually, in their time. So he was thrilled. So he wept. I don't know, emotional dude. Well, he'd been hanging around his mom in the kitchen for a long time. And maybe that's what he saw her do a lot. I don't know. Chances are good. He's just relieved, thrilled that he's near family. Again, near someone who's semi-normal. Oh, wait till he sees. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother. You know, he doesn't mean brother. They would use that as a term to be related. Your father is my mother's brother. So I'm your cousin. He's my uncle. But they would call each other brother, which is a term of relation. And that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. I don't know. She probably left out the part about him kissing her and crying like a, you know. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, embraced him, gave him a hug, kissed him on the cheeks again. He would do that. Brought him to his house, and he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. Okay. He says, Rachel, we're related. This is cool. She runs and she tells her dad, Uncle Laban, Jacob's uncle. And Laban runs to meet Jacob, greets him with a customary hug and kisses him on each cheek. He's thrilled to see Rebekah's son. He's happy. And Jacob tells Laban his story. And although we aren't betting individuals, I would bet you that he didn't mention the little murder thing. I left home because my brother's going to kill me. I don't even think that came up. I don't think he mentioned how he ripped off Esau, tricked his dad big time by wearing goat skins on his hand, by his mom making it. I don't even think that came up. I think the story was basically his side of a lie when he said, you know, come here because, you know, my parents, we didn't want to marry out of the family. I mean, that's just, it's pitiful. My brother did that, and it's hurt my parents' heart tremendously. And so, you know, this is why I'm here. He just didn't cover all the sin stuff. He, you know, but it's okay. Verse 15. Wait. In verse 14, let me reemphasize that he's been there just about a month now. Month. It's not real long, but a little while. And verse 15 says this. Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, in other words, you're a relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? I'll say that in our language. Jacob, buddy, it's really nice having you around. Now, you're my sister's son. You're blood. We love you. So we can't have you working for free. Who said anything about work? Does the Bible say that for the last month, Jacob's been working? Hey, you know Jacob. What does he do around the house at home? Anything in the field? Don't know how. Might help with the dishes. Pretty good in the kitchen. He can make dinner, I guess, a few times a week. You know, Jacob didn't bring up working. Like, you know, I'm hanging out here. I'm getting a little bored. Can I do anything for you? No. Listen, we're learning about Laban. This cat is swift. He's clever. You know, in other words, he's saying, you ain't going to keep sitting around, buddy. You're going to go to work. I like it. And I don't want you to work for nothing, your family. But you are going to work. You ain't eating my food at my table and keeping this up. You're going to work. Notice, Jacob didn't bring up work. This is Laban's idea. Who said anything about work? I don't think he had any plans to work around there. I think he planned to hang out, eat, do whatever people do, find a wife or two. So Laban is really tactful. He's a clever man. You're not just going to sit around my house eating my food, relative or not. I'm going to get a little work out of you. So he just very politely says, you can't work for nothing. You're going to earn your keep. What will your pay be? Uncle Laban is clever, tactful. He's a manipulator. You're not going to stay here unless I get something out of you. That's what he's saying. You know, Jacob and Laban, these guys are a match made in heaven. They were made for one another. You're going to see that as time goes. These guys are just alike. Only Laban's better at it. He's older. He's been doing it longer. Jacob's met his match here. He's going to be sorry. And Jacob is going to learn his lesson a hard way. And Jacob is now going to have to eat what he planted. he's going to have to now eat what grew up, and he planted it himself. And he's not going to appreciate the flavor. It's a lesson, Christian, for me, for you, for us. Don't be surprised if you plant ugly and ugly grows up. The first rule of holes, if you want to get out of a hole, the first rule is stop digging. So the first rule of sowing and reaping would be, it doesn't matter what you've been planting for all your life, but if you want something else to grow, the first rule would make sense in God's kingdom. Stop planting what you've been planting and start planting what you really want to grow. If you want people to have mercy on you, what would you start to plant? Mercy, having mercy on others, showing kindness. And all of us can learn from this. Well, watch Jacob. Okay, you need to go to work, so what do you say, Jake? Laban had two daughters, verse 16 says. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. We've met Rachel. Leah was, verse 17, tender-eyed. Bible says, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. She was a beauty. And Jacob loved Rachel. He's been there a month. And he loved Rachel already. Some say this is a case of love at first sight, that he probably fell in love with her, they believe, when he met her at the well that first day. Maybe that's why he cried. I don't know. Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, all right, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Sure, let's do it. We meet another of Laban's daughters, the elder girl. Her name is Leah. Leah had tender eyes. In our language, if you look up the original Hebrew there, you're going to see that it means weak eyes. Doesn't mean she couldn't see well. It meant that they were lacking in brilliance and in shine. They were, it's like, you know, looking at her and thinking, light's on, but nobody's home. Basically, that's what the Bible means. Now, very commonly in her day, in those times, because they wanted their eyes to shine and be bright and sparkly, the way they did it was with makeup. And you've seen some of the photos of some of the ladies. And I mean, their eyeshadow would be so bright red that you could see it half a mile down, or bright blue. They still do that somewhere over there in the Middle East. You'll still see some makeup and you'll think, is this a joke? No, they really want that to look that way, so that from far away, it looks like her eyes are blue. When you get up close, it's all eyelid. Or whatever colors they choose to make their eyes look bright and sparkly, because that's beautiful. Leah, she didn't have it. Rachel, she had it. In other words, let's put it in language that you and I could grasp without me being impolite. Basically, she was plain. She was what you and I would say is kind of an ugly duckling sort of girl. And Rachel wasn't that way. She was beautiful. And Jacob loved Rachel. And Laban noticed it. Been here a month and he's been watching you, watching her. He knows. So he thinks, I could use this. This I could use. You know, Jake, buddy, I can't have you work for me for nothing.
Work?
Yeah, work. Yeah. And so name your price. I think Laban already knew what was going to take place. And Jacob said, you know what? I would like to marry your daughter, Rachel, your younger daughter. I'll work 7 years, which was the common price for a girl back in those days. 7 years. Oh, 7 years of engagement. Couldn't hurry it up. Couldn't be six and a half. It'd be seven. couldn't break the engagement. Only way to break the engagement, because engagements were legal. The only way to break the engagement was to get a divorce. The only way to get a divorce was for sexual sin. If there was sexual sin involved, they would both be taken out and stoned. Or if it was just her, she would be taken out and stoned. So in other words, you get engaged, you are going to get married. It's not like nowadays we could get engaged 10 times and never get married once. So Jacob says this, I will work for you. I'll serve you for 7 years in exchange for your daughter's hand in marriage. Jacob had deceived his brother. Jacob had deceived his own father. Here it comes back to him in spades. Laban has a scheme brewing. And Jacob is clueless. He's in love. He's not paying attention. Once you commit, the engagement is legal and there's no way out of the engagement. I'll work 7 years for your daughter's hand in marriage, for your younger daughter. And of course, Laban plays it up. You know, the guys around here are losers. This is going to work out great for both of us, Jacob. You love her? And I'd much rather give her to you than to the guys around here, that's for sure. So you got a deal. Let's do it. You work 7 years. Verse 20 says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed unto him but a few days, for that he had to her, or for the love, I'm sorry, he had to her. And all the women say, aw, ain't that touching? Jacob loved Rachel. He worked for 7 years. Guys, think about that. For one girl, she must have been a beauty. Just like Sarah. Just like Rebecca. Bible says these were rare beauties. And now it sounds like Rachel's a rare beauty as well. Leah's not, but Rachel is. Works 7 years. And the Bible says, and they seemed to him like a few days. Why? Because he loved her. So working that 7 years seemed like nothing, just a few days. He worked out in the cold weather because he took care of the sheep, the herds, the flocks. He worked out in the burning heat. He worked out there in the rain. He worked hard hours. He worked long hours. He worked 7 straight years with no vacation. And it seemed like a few days to him. How is that possible? Or a better question, back up. Why? Because he did it for love. The Bible says he loved Rachel. Not because he had no choice, but because this was his choice. This was what he wanted to do. He worked 7 years for this woman, and it seemed to him just like a few days. And I think that what we're seeing here is a key to our Christian life. This will make the difference between you being burned out and being always on fire and excited and ready to go. Big difference. It all depends on your heart. Because this is a key. Consider it all joy. Aren't we told that? How do you do that? You won't if you don't really love the Lord. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. How are you going to do that? You won't if you don't really love the Lord. God says, great is your reward in heaven. You will never see a servant of God. I believe this with my whole heart. You will never see a true servant of God ever burn out. Like Dwight Moody when he came home from a thing that he was teaching. D.L. Moody. Long time ago. His family took one look at his face. And said, his wife said, you gotta stop. His children said, Dad, you're wearing yourself out to nothing. And he looked at them and he was very weary and he sat down and he said, I am tired in the ministry, but I am not tired of it. I love this. You just give me a little bit of rest and I'll be out there tomorrow again doing the rest of the meetings that he wanted to do. Because he loved the Lord and he really wanted the Word of God to go out. And he really wanted people to hear and to see. And he, you know, those kinds of men and women, they do not burn out. They can go on the mission field and they will last. They can preach, they can teach, they can continue on and on. And there will be no burnout because you just plain love him because he first loved us. And you could work 7 straight years and you could look at someone and say, it's been 7 years. And the truth is, it's gone by that fast. Seems like just a few days. Whereas you see other people in the ministry and they're going, I hate this. I'm going to quit. I'm getting out. How long have you been doing it? 3 months now. The church isn't growing and people are, I don't like it. You know what? There needs to be a real love. Jacob loved Rachel. And because he did, this wasn't like work at all. This wasn't his favorite thing to do. I know. We watched him grow up. This was for Rachel. It was his choice. It's not like a chore at all. When you serve the Lord because you love him, 7 years will seem like a few days. Though, all kinds of trials, all kinds of troubles, all kinds of weather will come your way. You serve the Lord because you love him. That's what Jesus said. Anybody that wants to follow me, anyone that will, in other words, that's a choice of the will, a choice of the mind. Anyone that will come after me and follow me, let him or her deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. He didn't say you have to. He said anybody that wants to. The only ones that would want to are those that he has touched their hearts, changed their lives, turned them around, and we love him because he first loved us. I want to do this. There was a time in my life, I would tell you, I would tell anybody, I don't want to teach. I don't want to do that. I don't want this church junk. There are important things you could do with your life. Why go to church? Church is for weak people. Yet now, I don't want to do anything else. I get invited by my friends to come down to Nashville and play in the studio. I think about it for a second or two, and then I say, no thanks. I have a friend who, they just put out another album. I could have been on it. And he said, when you're in Nashville, come in. We want you to sit in the studio. And I joke with him. I'm in Nashville quite often. You guys come up here. I don't want to do anything. How about you? You know, God gets a hold of your heart. You start to get to teach the Bible. You start to see people grow up, you know, and you think, I don't want to do it. You love serving the Lord. He loved Rachel. I'm not doing this for you, Laban. I'm doing this because I said 7 years because I love Rachel. I'm marry Rachel. And so it seemed like just a few days to him. Poor, dumb Jacob. Verse 21 says, after the 7 years, he says, give me, Jacob says unto Laban, give me my wife. For the days, this is bugging me. You see how hard my life is? Shoestrings bother me. I have big shoes. A lot of string. Buy tennis shoes, you notice they give me 17 feet of string. I think it's so you can tie it around your neck so it won't lose you. Anyway, excuse me, where'd that come from? You guys are getting me off track. And Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled. I've done my 7 years, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together, oh, smart man. Let's get as all the witnesses we can get. Laban gathers together all the men of the place, made a feast. Oh, my goodness, you're going to marry this girl in front of everybody that lives there. There's going to be so many witnesses, you aren't going to get out of this. They're tying this knot so tight. And came to pass in the evening, He took Leah, his daughter, brought her to him, to Jacob, and he went in unto her. Uh-oh. Laban gave unto his daughter, verse 23 says, Leah, Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Oh, man. And he said to Laban, he was mad, what is this that you've done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? You tricked me. You cheated me. What'd you do? I'm mad. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country. We can't do it this way. You see, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Oh, man. At the marriage ceremony in those times, the bride would be heavily veiled. And I mean heavily veiled. You did not know. She was covered from the top of her head to the soles of her. You couldn't see her shoes. You don't know who's in there. It could be a calf. Maybe you stood it upright. I don't know. You don't know. And people are drinking. And what he did is he sneaks in Leah in the place of Rachel. Rachel was never even there. You got all these witnesses. They go in. And by the way, the wedding feast will last 7 days. They go in to consummate the marriage, and he wakes up in the morning, and oh, man. I added that part. Jacob did not see the girl that he had married until he was already married, and it was tomorrow. And guess what? It wasn't Rachel. It wasn't Rachel. And there's no way out of this because all these witnesses saw, and you're married now. Oh. I wonder. The Bible doesn't say this. But I wonder. When he woke up and saw Leah there and not Rachel. I wonder. If he thought about his dad. And the lies that he told his dad. By having his mom make the food and him dressing up like a goat, putting on his brother's clothes so he would stink like a field that was prospering. In other words, manure. Like Esau smelled. I wonder if he thought about the tricks he played on his own dear old dad. Well, needless to say, he was angry. I served you 7 years for Rachel. That was our agreement. You tricked me. You deceived me. You lied to me. But everybody, nobody talks about this part, but I really feel like we need to talk about it. I listened. I looked. Nobody talks about this part. Leah lied too, didn't she? She had gone along with this whole scam. She was not innocent. Many, many wives that we hear from in counseling, many say, I really feel sorry for Leah. I know how she feels. And I think, do you do what she did? Are you deceitful and lying and, you know, oh, nobody loves me. Listen to this. Think about what you're actually saying when you say, I can sympathize with her. What you're doing is you're having to ignore everything else to sympathize with her. Because Leah was not innocent here. Rachel is going to bring that up to Leah. They are not going to get along for most of the rest of their lives. Leah is not innocent here. Leah didn't wake up the next morning and go, Jacob! What? What am I doing here? All right, somebody explain this to me. How did my clothes get off? Leah knew full well what she was doing. But wait, there's more. Rachel knew it too. didn't she? Rachel knew, that's not me in that dress. That's not me in that tent. Where's Rachel? We got to hide her. If she can't be seen, or they're going to know. Rachel's part of this whole game. This is a great family. This is a great family that Jacob's part of here. He's got a great thing going on. You can't trust any of them. You see, just like Laban, Leah cannot be trusted. You will find that that's one of the reasons Jacob does not trust her most of their marriage. Because the way she got into the marriage, knowing full well, she's got some repenting to do. She's got some growing up to do, and she will do it down the road. But we ignore that part of Leah, and we focus on Jacob. And I think we make a mistake, because there are lessons in this for all of us to learn. Now watch this. Laban's answer amazes me. Why didn't you do this? I worked 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. I wake up this morning, it's Leah. You deceived me, you cheated me. His answer is, oh, it's our custom. It's always been our custom. You know our custom, but you can't marry off the younger before you marry up the older. That's the tradition. That's the way it is. It's the way we do things around here. Older's got to marry before the younger can marry. Well, why didn't you tell me that 7 years ago? Don't you think that should have come up in the conversation? I'd like to marry your younger daughter. Our tradition is you have to marry the older one first. No, thank you. She has weak eyes. Nothing personal. It's nothing personal. It's just that, no. Why didn't anybody mention this earlier? I have worked hard for 7 years. Why didn't you mention this? Why didn't somebody say something and give me a warning? Why didn't Rachel say anything? Don't you wonder? She could sneak up to him during the wedding, send him a note. Watch it. Under that veil, you're going to be shocked. Anything. Why didn't Rachel say something? I know why. Because this is a family of liars. It's a family of deceivers. Just like Rebecca. Rebecca had the plan all in place to get her favorite the job, the blessing. Remember that? Then Rebecca came up with a plan to save his life. She was deceiving her own husband, who supposedly she loved. But of course, she loved her favorite a little bit more, and that got her into trouble. Remember, this is a deceitful outfit. Jacob is just like his mama. He comes from a long line of deceivers. He's met his match in deceivers. Why didn't somebody tell me? And they all go, sorry, dude. You're married now to a girl. Oh, but wait. You have been engaged to Rachel. You can't break an engagement unless there's a legal divorce. What does that mean? You still have to go through with marrying Rachel. Think about it. That's what's coming up next. Oh, dude. Jacob gets a taste of what Esau must have felt like. You cheated me, and there's nothing I can do about it. How did Esau feel? I think Jacob's feeling that. When Jacob came home from hunting, found out his own brother had tricked him out of the blessing, Esau wept. Yeah, Esau didn't care about spiritual things. Jacob, just a little while back, promised God, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to trust you, if you'll do this. You remember all these things? Well, look at verse 27. Laban says, let's read 26 and get a running start out. Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. So, fulfill her week, and we will give you this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 more years. Oh, man. Jacob did so. fulfilled her week. And so then Laban gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. That was common. As your daughter got married, you would, if you had the wherewithal, if you had the way to do it, you would give them each a servant of their own or a handmaid, someone to help them around the house. Think about this, everyone. Jacob just worked 7 years, marries the wrong girl. Laban says, you know, sorry, buddy, but that's custom. I don't want the older one. Well, you got her. We've got witnesses. You can't get out of this. But you're still engaged. You promised you'd work 7 years for Rachel. So at the end of this marriage week, go ahead and marry Rachel, and you owe me 7 years. Is Laban clever or what? Pretty good. Because he was getting blessed because Jacob was there. And so he's wanting to keep him around. So the marriage feast lasts 7 days. At the end of the 7 days, he takes Rachel to be his wife. He should not have taken another wife. One is a lot. He should not have had two. And he will pay for this dearly. Many times over. With these two girls. Jacob went from being single to having two wives in 1 week. Two wives that don't like each other anymore. I'm not sure if it ever works out. According to Scripture, it doesn't. But these women didn't appreciate each other. They both were deceitful. They both were not up front. They both had some major issues going on here. And now they both had the same husband. Though the Bible tells us about these marriages, listen closely, the Bible never approves of these marriages. Does that make sense? Though we're told about it, the Bible never approves of it. And they always cause trouble. Two wives always cause trouble. I hate to say it that way, but underline, always. It's in the same way the Bible tells us about the devil's lies, but the Bible never approves of the lies of the devil. The Bible tells us of this marriage should not have been two wives, and there were. And it will cause trouble. The Bible doesn't approve of it. You're going to see that Jacob's going to be sorry. So are the girls. Uncle Laban now makes Jacob serve twice as long as Jacob had bargained for. So Jacob is now basically miserable. He's working for Uncle Laban for, let's just say it all together, for nothing. And now he has two wives, and he doesn't really love or trust one of them. He's not even sure about Rachel, although he does love Rachel. But he certainly doesn't trust Leah. What a great way to start a relationship. Now, we read in verse 30. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 more years. Now, a lot of people feel sorry for Leah. And, of course, in the long run, they're going to feel sorry for Rachel, but you shouldn't at all. Listen closely. Go back to Galatians and see God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. These girls are going to reap what they themselves have sown, along with the plan of their dad. God loves them. He's going to bless them. They are going to grow through this and out of it. They will be followers of God when this is all done. But at this moment, you can see there's some major problems. Well, he went in also unto Rachel, verse 30. He loved also Rachel more than Leah and served with him yet another 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Oh, my goodness. It's going to cause some trouble, too. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And so she called him Simeon. And she conceived again, oh my goodness, and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And then she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. And she stopped bearing children. They've entered into a relationship. It's no good. The start of the relationship, just like anything, has to be right. If you enter into a relationship and the starting is of sin or confused or deceit or some other situation that is no good, you can understand how it's going to be a difficult row to hoe. We tell people, don't live together. Before you're married, don't do that. And they say, well, we just want to get to know one another. No, you see, you're starting wrong. What's going to happen to you is this is going to be difficult for you to overcome. It can be overcome, but there's going to be a lot of misery, a lot of heartache, a lot of struggle that you really don't want. You're not ready for. Don't have sex before you get married. And then they say, but we love one another. No, you don't understand what you're talking about. What's going to happen is this is going to affect and do some damage and some strange things to the relationship. And look at Leah, who doesn't even belong there. And look at Rachel, who's a part of the whole thing. She can't even have children. She's barren. Leah's having children. And the sad thing about this is Leah is hoping, if I have kids, that'll make him like me. Wait a minute. You know, you started this whole thing out with the wrong heart, with the wrong attitude. And now you're hoping that, you know, this will help or that'll help. And I see many times women will try these kinds of things. Maybe this will work. Maybe that'll. You know what would work? What would really work for husbands and wives, for men and women, for young people and old people, to humble yourself before the Lord and to begin to quit planting what you've been planting, and for all of us to start planting now what we want to grow. It's always going to be this way. Oh, it's always. And that, you know what? Anybody that says that doesn't love the Lord, doesn't really want to be close to the Lord, because it's not always going to be this way. At any moment, the Lord can change my heart, can change your heart, and we can begin from now to walk forward. Of course, if somebody's been spitting in your face every time you see them, just stand at a little bit of a distance. Until you see finally they're not going to spit anymore. Give it time. Jacob loved Rachel. In contrast to that, the Bible, when the Bible says he hated Leah, I know some of you think, yeah, see, I know how. You're misunderstanding. Don't misunderstand the context of the word. The context of the word is this. In comparison to Rachel, it seems just the opposite to Leah, is what the language is telling us. Jacob loved Rachel to begin with. I don't know what Leah must have been thinking to agree with her dad to say, we'll do this. Maybe she was getting older in years and who knows? God only knows. We see here, she knew, Leah knew, that Jacob had every right not to trust her. She knew that. There was no question. She knew it. And then she becomes pregnant, has a son. So she names him Reuben. The word means literally, behold or look, a son. Hoping This is going to help. This will help things. She thinks, you know, now my husband's going to love me. Now he'll pay more attention to me than he will to Rachel. You can imagine the battle that must have gone on. Now he'll pay more attention to me. I have given him a son. Rachel is barren. Now remember, God is working in everybody's life. Leah, he's allowing her to have children. Rachel, he's stopping her from having children. God is doing something. Everybody tries to decide what he's doing. But you watch how God will bring their hearts around, how merciful God is, and how he'll work in the lives, and how he does it to bring them to him, to include Jacob. Don't forget Jacob. All right. She has a bunch of sons. She has four sons that are listed here. She'll have more later on, but for right now, she has some sons. Reuben, that we just met. Simeon. Simeon means heard by the ear, meaning God has heard me. I'm saying, God, I want him to pay attention to me. And so Rachel's not having kids, and I got a second one. God has heard me. So she names him Heard, or Simeon. Then she has a third one, Levi. That word literally means to be joined. So she says, now I'll be joined to my husband. Oh, Rachel, she'll be thrown in the trash. So we'll call him Levi, joined to. And then she has a fourth one. Whew. Four boys. Judah, which means, you know, praise. And all she's saying is, I got a fourth one. Oh, man, Jacob's got to be proud. I know he's paying attention to me now. Rachel, she's had none. I got it. I praise the Lord. So we name him Judah. She's got some more lessons to learn. We'll have to stop here, but we'll learn them with her, because a lot of times we're like Leah. A lot of times we're like Rachel. A lot of times we're like Jacob. Here's something that might bless you if you're worried about the language, how it says Jacob hated Leah. Remember, it's in comparison to how he loved Rachel. Here's something that's a thrill. It will be from the tribe of Judah that Messiah will come. From the tribe of Judah. So it was through Jacob and Leah that Messiah would come. Not through Jacob and Rachel. Interesting. Rachel has some good kids, though. She will have Joseph and Benjamin. Good guys. And you'll see Joseph will save the nation. And a type of Messiah. And I don't want to go into all that. But what amazing lessons. Just a simple little chapter like this. What amazing lessons for me and for you to learn from. Just to take this and let it sink into our hearts. Lord, there's a lesson for me. And the lesson is simply this. We need to pay attention. Starting now. Maybe we weren't paying attention all these years. We've been Christians and we've been serving God or walking with God. But maybe we weren't really paying attention to what was being planted. And things are growing and we're going, what is this? Oh, man, what is that? And God says, I'm not mocked. I love you. You're forgiven. David, you're not going to die. But the sword will never leave your house. This is what you planted. Don't plant this. The lessons for us as we watch Laban. We're going to see him again. Jacob. Rachel. Leah. And this family as they go through the rest of their lives. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we are grateful.